What is your purpose in life?
I don't think I have one.
What is your purpose in life?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Have you ever thought about it before?
Nope.
You've never thought about it?
Nope. Not at all. I haven't spent any time on it.
You haven't spent any time thinking about what your purpose is in life?
Not recently. Should I be?
Well, you tell me. It's your life.
No, I haven't spent any time on that. I just go day to day. That's just it.
What is your purpose in life?
I really haven't put that much thought into it.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just trying to have a good time.
What is my purpose in life?
You got to give me time to think about
that
one.
About it.
Get through it. Don't kill anybody.
Just keep doing until I get it over with.
Just be happy.
It's just to be happy.
I think that I should have fun and be happy.
To be happy and make my family happy and my boyfriend happy and just be happy.
I don't really feel that I'm here to do anything in particular. I mean, it's not like I think that I'm destined to do something or be someone or something like that. I'm just kind of going through the routines, you know, as society's laid it all out for us.
I feel like I have a purpose to help preserve, conserve the beauty of nature.
Hopefully leave some sort of legacy.
To contribute to the betterment of mankind.
Tell me what your purpose in life is.
Go to work, go home, live. I got a purpose. Everybody got a purpose on earth, but I ain't found my purpose out yet.
To live a long life and to be prosperous.
What's my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to be successful.
To be successful and to lead a happy, fulfilling life.
To provide well for my family.
I want to be a really powerful woman. Build my career built in financial area.
Do you think that you have a purpose?
Not necessarily. I think purpose is just to do what you want to do. Go out and live life and have fun.
Yeah, I think everybody has a purpose in life. And what would that purpose be for you? I'm not sure yet.
What is your purpose in life?
My purpose in life is basically to live the best life I can and to help others and be there for my friends and my family.
How do you know that that's your purpose? Where does that come from?
It comes from within my heart and my head.
How do you know having fun is your purpose?
I don't know. I mean, that's just personal philosophy. Get it from what I think. That's it.
How do I know this is my purpose? What kind of question is that?
Boy, I think you got to start drinking before you talk about that, really.
What is your purpose in life?
My purpose in life? I am deeply rooted in Christian faith, and my purpose would be to glorify God in all that I do.
Do you have a purpose in life?
No.
Have you ever thought about it before?
I guess I've thought about it a little, but it scares me, so I don't.
What do you mean it scares you?
I don't know. I just like to more concern myself with living day to day, having fun.
And that's it?
That's pretty much it.
More or less, we're just going through the motions here, and, you know, you do what you feel like doing. I don't think there's anything really pushing or pulling us in any direction. And, you know, it ends whenever your life ends.
Were you surprised by that? Was it somewhat shocking? Just a little bit sad. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. A little bit sad. You just get this idea that people have no clue as to why they're even on this planet. That if we're going to summarize, and I found this to be true as I've talked with people, if you're going to ask them what their purpose in life is, and honestly, if we're going to be honest, there's probably a bunch of people here that would say the same thing. We're going to summarize it. It's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's the purpose of life. It truly is. And that's what people think. And that's a sad thing. It isn't surprising. It was sad for me, but it wasn't surprising when I realized that, of course, that's what people think the purpose of life is. I mean, think about it. For their entire life, their entire public education, they have been told that they are a cosmic accident, that they are simply the results of multiple mathematical mistakes over time. In other words, you are slime over time. That's how we summarize who you are, your beginnings. And that's what we're told. Is that not what we're told? So if there is no purpose in the beginning, then there is no purpose in life. And that is a sad statement. When you take God out of the equation of life and our beginnings, then life simply has no meaning. No meaning whatsoever. No purpose whatsoever except to try to be happy and not kill someone, as he said. And once in a while, we find it deep within ourselves and to help my friends be happy. But it's all about happiness, and that's exactly what it should be if the humanists are right. And we are simply a product of random chance from a primordial goo. And that's exactly what we've been told. There's no purpose in that. We're just lucky, I guess. Oh, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to put God back in that equation. And it makes all the difference, doesn't it? It makes all the difference. My name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock Church. And today we start a journey. We call it 40 Days of Purpose. And we are together going to discover and talk about this idea of purpose in life, where it is found, how we can have meaning and purpose. That's what we're going to look at for the next 40 days. And I invite you to come on this journey because it is the question of the age. Here's what we're going to look at this week. What on earth am I here for? What am I on this planet for? And you know, there's some great verses in the Bible and some great prophets that have questioned God on this very point. And by the way, it's okay to question God. He's a big boy. He can handle it. We can ask him good questions like this. Here's what Jeremiah asked God. He said, "Why did I ever come out of the womb? To see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" That's a good question that Jeremiah asked his God. Why did I even get born? Why did you allow me to be on this planet? What on earth am I here for? And one of his answers was, it was somewhat rhetorical, but he's saying, for sorrow and for shame and for pain and agony. Is that why you brought me here? Is that my purpose? Because that's what it feels like. And again, some of you can relate to that. Am I here just to suffer and have pain? I mean, some of you had a bad week. Some of you had a bad month. Some of you had a bad decade. And you're thinking, what am I doing on this planet? I thought God had a purpose in my life, and I don't think I like it very much right now. What is your purpose for being on this planet? What does God have to say? You felt that way before. There's an American humorist named Jack Handy. He says, "I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it." And we can feel that way. Again, the world is teaching us that we're just an accident, and the fallacy of humanism, in particular Darwinism and Marxism and Freudism, is there is no inherent meaning at the very base of their philosophy, where their philosophy starts. There is no meaning to be found there whatsoever. In other words, nothing from nothing leads to depression. If you start with nothing, if you have nothing to live for, then there is no meaning, there's no purpose. Why even stick around this planet? And that's what scientists are telling us. Stephen Jay Gould, a renowned atheist scientist in the Scientific American, October 1994, he says it this way, talking about the origins of humans. He says, "Humans arose rather as a fortuitous and contingent outcome of thousands of linked events, any one of which could have occurred differently and sent history on an alternate pathway that would not have led to consciousness." In other words, he's just affirming what I said at the beginning. We are just slime over time. We are just a product of chance. There's no meaning to be found there. Matt Gollenbeck, who is a scientist on the current Mars exploration program, I read this last week in USA Today, I believe, he said this. Somebody asked him, "What's the purpose of all this exploration? Why do you have a rover up on Mars right now?" And he said, "Driving the exploration of Mars and other planets are the most fundamental questions humanity can ask. Are we alone in the universe?" This is why they're on Mars right now today. That's why we went to the moon. That's why we have the SETI program, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. That's why we have it. We are looking for intelligence. And you might think, and I ponder this, why is it that that's so important, that we are searching to see if we're alone in this universe, to see if there's intelligence, higher intelligence? Why do we want to know that? I'll tell you why. Here's what I believe. Because they're the ones that can answer this fundamental question. We're hoping that if we find higher intelligence, they'll be able to explain to us why we are here on this planet. So it ultimately comes back to that question. We're hoping little green guys with antennas will tell us our purpose in life. Ultimately, that's what we're looking for when we say we're looking for higher intelligence, because we can't look over in the spiritual. We can't look at God because we're scientists. So we'll look over here hoping to find somebody smarter than us to tell us why we're on this planet. Carl Jung, a famous scientist, physiologist, said, "I don't know the meaning, the purpose of life, but it looks as if something were meant by it." Isaac Asimov, renowned science fiction writer, said, "As far as I can see, there is no purpose." As far as he can see, there is no purpose. I guess that is a tragic statement. No purpose? Then what is the what is life worth living for? To be happy, I guess? Then we become hedonistic. Everything's about my pleasure. You wonder why there's so many addictions in the world, because life is found in pleasure. Obviously, that's our purpose in life, to be happy. So I do everything I can to fill this void, because I've taken God out of the equation. A Christian, we must not take God out of the equation. And if you're a seeker here today and you're not sure about this God, then I want to encourage you that you started a journey today that I think you will be glad that you started with us. And you will discover that God is the one that gives purpose and meaning in this life. I like what Billy Sunday said. He's a famous pro athlete years ago that turned evangelical preacher. He was a fire and brimstone type preacher. He said this: "More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." Not having purpose affects your life, and it affects your eternity. So what I want to do today, we'll briefly look at life's three greatest questions. I know that's kind of an oxymoron. Briefly look at life's greatest questions. But we're going to spend the next 40 days, next 7 weeks, looking at this question. But I want to briefly overview this today. The life's three greatest questions. Here's the first one. Why am I here? This is a question of existence. And you have some blanks. You should have blanks in your hand. Do we have them? Pull those out. You can fill in the blanks. All the verses are there. I want you to have those with you. Again, you're going to be studying this throughout the week in your small group, which you're going to sign up for today if you haven't already. And you're going to go to your small group. We're going to be talking about these issues. So write down notes, fill in the blanks, follow along. Question of existence: why am I here? What a question. Why am I even here? Let's look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 4. This is in the Old Testament. It says, "The Lord has made everything." You can circle that word in your notes. "The Lord has made everything for his own purpose." God has made everything. There's nothing that happens by chance. Nothing that God created that doesn't have a purpose or reason for being there. I don't care if it's human beings or animals or rocks or clouds or stars or planets or grass or dirt. It doesn't matter. Everything has a purpose in God's economy. He created it for purpose. Certainly that applies to us, that we have a purpose in this life. Everything, it says, for God's purposes. Here's what you need to understand. You will not find your purpose for life looking within. As someone mentioned on the video, how do you know that's your purpose? One guy said, "What kind of question is that? How do I know my purpose?" Another one said, I look within my heart. That's probably not a great place to look. And if you do look within your heart, which most people think that's where they find their purpose, guess what you're going to find? Happiness. That's your purpose. That's what your heart's going to tell you, because your heart is just a big flesh ball that just wants to be satisfied, just wants to get taken care of. And when you look inside, of course, that's the answer. Be happy. Be taken care of. Be comfortable. Be protected. Oh, and I'm not going to kill anybody. Or I'll help somebody else. That's what we get when we look inside. That's not where you find your purpose. It is not. And there's nothing wrong with being happy, by the way. We'll get to that later. But as far as this life's greatest question of why am I here? What is the question of my existence? Why do I even exist? It's not found within. I guarantee you. That's kind of like a fortune cookie philosophy. Break it open and figure out what you're supposed to do. Okay, that's looking within. And again, every fortune cookie is going to say your happiness or someone else's happiness or make a lot of money. It's all about you when we look within. In 1991, I don't know, you were probably watching Oprah at the time. Oprah had a show dedicated to the purpose of life. A whole show, a whole hour. She was going to divulge the purpose of life back in 1991. I think I have a picture of Oprah. Okay, so she has a show, and I have a friend that taped it. Back then, you had to tape things. Okay, you taped on video cassette, and he taped it. And she would talk. She would interview guests, and she would talk about this idea of the purpose of life. And it was a great show. And they get to a commercial, and she'd say, "When we get back, we're gonna answer that question: what's the purpose of life?" So the next segment, she would talk to interview people, and never answer it. In the next segment, she'd say, "We're gonna talk about it next segment." And next segment got to the end. I kid you not, the credits were rolling. She never answered it. She looked at the camera and said, "And remember, if you want to find the purpose of life, you got to figure it out yourself." The world doesn't know. The world doesn't know why we're here. Happiness is all they can say. Make yourself happy. You won't find the meaning of life within. There's a famous cartoonist named Ralph Barton, and he wrote this. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Let's go to the second point here. I was created to be loved by God. So this question of existence, why am I here? You got to understand that this is so critical that we grasp this, that you and I were created to be loved by God. That is an essential reason we exist, so that God can love on us. He created us in order to love us. That is a fact. That is throughout the scriptures. We believe that, and we need to get that in our mind. Here's a good verse for you. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, listen carefully, New Testament says, long before he, or God, laid down the earth's foundation, before he created anything, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love. You and you and me. God focus. We are the focus of his love. Before he created anything, before he made you or me or anyone else or anything else, he had, that was his plan. All along, this was God's plan. It wasn't that God was needy or lonely or needs us somehow. No, he wanted us. And he created us so that he could shower his love and goodness on us. This was his plan from the beginning. It wasn't a mistake. It was by design that God made you and he made me so he could love us. It's kind of like, and again, all illustrations fall short, and this one admittedly falls way short, but the love that God has for us, his desire to be with us, is kind of like my love for my kids when, say, I want to take them to Home Depot, okay? And just, I have four boys, just take them to Home Depot to be with me. I just desire them to experience Home Depot with me, okay? The smell of the freshly cut pine, the cool tools over here, the new, you know, the $6 tools that are all lined up in the aisleway, that they're so awesome, and they're shaking paint over there, and you get to see all this cool stuff, and they like to hide behind the doors that are hanging up. And I love, especially when they're little, to take my kids to Home Depot with me, just to be with them. Now, I don't need them to go to Home Depot. And as I get older, I'm going to Home Depot by myself a lot lately, it seems like. But I love it to have my children with me. God loves you, and he wants to show his love to you. That's one of the reasons he created you. He just loves being with you. And that gives you meaning on this planet. When you understand there's a reason for your existence. That's the first big question. Again, just an overview. We'll tackle it more in the next 7 weeks. Why am I here? Here's a second big question. Does my life even matter? This is a question of significance. Am I I just feel insignificant. I'm just a speck on a speck on a speck in this huge universe. I feel so insignificant. Does my life even matter? Again, I like Isaiah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. He asked God another honest question. These guys are trying to figure it out themselves. He said this in Isaiah 49, verse 4. My work all seems so useless. I spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. And again, a lot of us have been there. I just feel like my job or my career is just a dead end. I don't feel like there's any purpose to it. That's a bad place to be, wouldn't you agree? Emotionally and every other way, that's a hard place to be. To be in a situation where what you're doing is meaningless or feels meaningless or no purpose at all, that you have no significance whatsoever in the cog of life. That is not a good place to be. In fact, there's an illustration, true story, at the end of World War II in a Hungarian concentration camp. Some of the buildings at this point had already been bombed by the Allies. The war was quickly coming to an end. And the prison guards at this particular concentration camp were told, keep these guys busy. Just keep them busy. There were tens of thousands of emaciated, underfed, sick prisoners of war. And they said, just keep them busy. So the guards didn't know what else to do. And one of these buildings that had been completely bombed was just a pile of rubble. They told the prisoners, this is your job, to take the rubble from that pile and move it 200 yards over there and pile it up over there. So for the next couple of weeks, that's what they did. They picked up rocks and they slowly moved over and dropped them in a pile. When they got done with that, they said, that pile that you just made, take that back and put it back where you started. So for another couple of weeks, they moved these rocks all back. They got done with that. They said, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And it didn't take long for them to realize this was utterly meaningless. This work has no purpose whatsoever. And when the Allies finally liberated that camp, true story, some of these people that had been tasked to do this meaningless work had gone insane, had gone crazy. Some of them had actually committed suicide by jumping in front of the guards. They said they couldn't take it anymore. They couldn't take one more step. When life has no meaning, when your life has no purpose, then it leads to depression or worse. We do have meaning. We do have meaning. This is the quote I was going to mention to you, Ralph Barton, famous cartoonist. His suicide note, he said, I'm fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of a day. And then he killed himself. When life is meaningless and you feel no significance whatsoever, it's like, why even be here? Why should I even be here? God has so much more for us. In fact, we can say this, you matter to God. Does my life matter? Yes. You matter to God. And you might not even have a high self-esteem. You might not think that you matter to yourself, but you matter to God, and that will make all the difference. Good old Isaiah here. Here's what God said to Isaiah. Verse 44, verse 2, he said, I am your creator. Again, we got to start there. Where do we come from? I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Even before time began, God says, you were in my care. I took care of you. I was looking forward to you. I planned you. This was no mistake. Even before creation, God knew you. God planned you. And that should give you significance. I love this idea in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're looking for significance, do I matter? All you have to do is look to the cross. And this verse says that God loved you so much, you mattered to him so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross for you, not because you're so awesome, not because you're starting to come back to church or you help people and you do all these great things. No, it says, while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. That's how much you matter, because you can think, well, I know God made me, but I've blown it, man. I've walked so far from God. I don't even resemble being a Christian. I'm ashamed of my life. Surely God doesn't love me now, and I don't matter to God now. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because this verse says, while you're still a sinner, Christ died for you. He loved you that much. He demonstrated his love for you in this. While you're still a sinner, not when you cleaned your life up. While you're a sinner, that's when he died. If you ever doubt your significance with God, just look to the cross. In the cross, you see God's demonstration of his love for you and for me. You matter to God. You see, he's not playing games. He loves you at your worst. You matter to him. Not only that's important, that you matter to God. That's obviously important. But there's another fact that you need to consider when it comes to this idea of significance. And that is that someday, your heart will stop beating. all of us. Someday our hearts will stop beating, and this life will be over. And at that point, something happens, and you know this is true. In your heart of hearts, you know that we go on, that there's life beyond the grave. We know this is true, and here's what you need to understand. Because of that, when it comes to significance, you need to know that you were made to last forever. You were made to last forever. It's not just in this life. So this idea of what's my purpose? Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to be happy in this life. I just want to live day to day. That's a foolish thought. No, well, let me say it this way. It's a smart thought if that's all there is. If your heart stops and we're done. And you're put in a grave and worms eat your body and that's it. You're done. That's where life ends, right there in that box. If that was true, then we ought to be out eating and drinking and making merry right now. That's what we ought to be doing. Shouldn't be here. Let's go party, man. And again, there's nothing wrong with partying. As a matter of fact, after this service, we're going to party down. We're going to have lots of food. This is a party. We're celebrating commencing our 40 days. So Marty Weed and Laurie Raymer and some others have put together a party for us. Hang around, eat some good food. We like to party. But listen, life is more than just a party. Life goes on beyond the grave. And you know it, and I know it. No matter, and the whole world knows it. No matter what they say, they know this is true. There's more to this life than just this life. We go on. God created us. Here's what it says in Psalm 33, verse 11. His plans, God's plans, endure for how long? How long? Say it with me. His purposes last how long? Eternally. Two different words. Sorry, I know that threw you off. You got to pay attention here. Okay, keep up. Let's try it again. See if you get it this time. His plans endure for? His purposes last? Thank you. Oh, that's so good. You can be taught. That is so encouraging. Forever and ever and ever. That's how long you were created. And it's so important for you to get that. Here's another verse. 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says, now we know that if the earthly tent, he's talking about our bodies, this is an illustration for our bodies as tent. If our bodies or the tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. When this body is destroyed, the Bible says that we'll be given a real body, an eternal body. That this body will decay, for sure, but God will transform us with our eternal bodies after death. That is what the Bible says. Therefore, since life goes on, the point is life goes on after the grave for every human being. It does. Since that is true, then we have significance in this life. How we live this life matters. In fact, you could say that lifetime is preparation for eternity. Because if you look and I wish I had made one, I'm surprised I didn't, but a timeline, a graph, okay, of eternity past and eternity future, and you're right here, you know, your little life from the day you're born to the day you die is just, you can't even see it hardly. It's just a blip on the screen compared to eternity past, eternity future. It's just a blip. Your real life starts after you die. That's where life is. That's where you'll spend the vast majority of your time, is in eternity future. So therefore, we need to make sure that we live this life understanding our state before God, that he loves us, that we matter to him. It'll affect our eternity, how we live now. And let me give you a clue. It's just not about being happy. That's not what it's all about. All right? We got to make wise choices. And I've got a picture of Jonathan here. Jonathan's probably wondering, why does he have that picture of me? This is an old picture. And just to illustrate this idea of understanding, we need to invest wisely in this life. And I use the illustration of the Nickelcade. If you've ever been to the Nickelcade, on my day off, especially when the kids were younger, we'd often go to the Nickelcade, play games. That was fun. And then the kids would get tickets from the games they played. And they could go to the counter, and underneath the glass counter, there was a bunch of toys under the counter. And they would spend, it seemed like, more time looking and trying to decide what they were going to get for their tickets than what they played games to get the tickets. And I learned early on that, you know what? This is part of the process. This is okay. I need to be patient because I'm thinking, just get something that's going to break anyway. Just buy something. And that's often what happened. These toys he's holding, I think, it's a styrofoam plane, okay? Lasts 3 throws at the most, okay, before it breaks in half. Never had one last more than three throws. It's a bunch of junk, but the kids love it. And my point simply is this. In this life, you only have so many days. You only have so many tickets. You need to spend them wisely. Don't spend them on junk. Don't be misled to think, my purpose in life is to be happy. Oh, it's so much more than that. That is a styrofoam plane that will break. That will, because you're not guaranteed happiness anyway, and it will leave you empty if that's what you're pursuing. It'll leave you empty. Just like these toys, they just leave you empty. Spend it on something good. That's the second question. Does my life matter? Yes, it matters to God. Third of life's three greatest questions is this. It's a question of intention. What is my purpose? And again, we're going to spend the next 40 days looking into this question. What is my purpose? Psalm 89 verse 47 says this. Again, I love these questions that are asked by the prophets and King David here. David asked this question, why did you create us? For nothing? I think David knew better, but again, he was being honest with God. Are we here for nothing? What is my purpose, God? I want to know that. It's an honest question. If we don't learn anything else, it's okay to ask God honest questions. He can handle it. Matter of fact, I think he loves it. I tell people this all the time. I remember in particular, I was doing a conference in Arizona years ago, and a kid was brought up to me and basically introduced to me as, he said, I'm an atheist. I don't know if I even believe in God. I like what you said. What should I do? And I was literally, they were rushing me out to catch a plane. Plane was leaving. I had to go quick. And so basically what I told him was this. I said, you ask God. You don't believe in God? Well, let me say this. Would you do this? Would you simply be honest with God and ask him, if you're real, would you show yourself to me? Would you be willing to ask God that? And he said, yeah. Yeah, I would. I said, you do that, and I promise you, God will make it clear to you. If you're honest in your heart and you want to know God, he will reveal himself to you. I saw this illustrated in my own life years ago. I've told this story to some of you have heard it, but it's so true, and I'll never forget it. It's way back in the 1980s, early, I think it was fall 1980. I was in college. I'd moved into a three-man dorm with two Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, I called them at that time, Christians who were praying to God for a secular, pagan, sinning, unchristian, ungodly guy to move in with them so they could witness to him and tell him about the love of God. And who got put in their room? Well, I did. Okay, I was the third man. I was the answer to their prayers. And we had bunks, so three bunks above in our little dorm rooms. You have one room, three bunks. And I'll never forget one night I was trying to go to sleep, and it's hard when you have one room, three people, and friends ran and whatnot. I'm trying to sleep up here. My Christian roommates brought somebody back. They were sitting down, not having a Bible study, but they were talking about spiritual things. And again, at this point, I'm somewhat of a mocker, somewhat of an unbeliever. I never went to church growing up, so I'm thinking, let me go to sleep. But I'm listening to their story because they heard a cool story that day. They were telling each other a story about a guy that was on death row. And I remember them telling this, and they're talking about, yeah, we just heard the story. A guy was on death row, and a Christian pastor went in to meet with him the day before he was supposed to be executed. And the guy said, do you believe in Christ? And the guy said, I don't. The guy's going to get executed. I don't believe in God. I don't know if there's a God or not. I'm not sure. And the pastor challenged him the same way I challenged that young atheist in Arizona. He said, would you be willing to put God to the test? I mean, you're scheduled to die tomorrow morning. Would you be willing? He said, I suppose I would. He says, would you ask God, when I leave here, would you just turn to God and say, God, would you wake me up? And you give him the time. You tell God, at this minute, would you wake me up in the middle of the night, at this time, specifically? And the guy thought and said, you know, I can do that, I guess. Because what do I have to lose? So the pastor left. The guy went to bed. In the middle of the night, the guy was woken up. He looked at his alarm clock, and of course, the story goes that right when he woke up, it was the exact time that he asked for. He ended up repenting of his sins, turning to Christ, becoming a Christian before he was executed. That was a story I heard while I was laying up in my bed listening to my Christian roommates. In my cynical mind, this is what was going through my mind as I listened to their story. Because the guy had said, 3 o'clock a.m., God, wake me up. In my cynical mind, I was thinking, that is so cliche. 3 o'clock a.m., come on, everybody would pick 3 a.m. This was going through my mind. I would have picked something like 2:33, come on. And really put God to the test then, okay? Three, who knows, maybe there's a janitor shift change or something. That's, you know, that's so expected. So I thought that thought. I said, I would have asked for 2:33. I go to bed. My roommates are sleeping. In the middle of the night, this is not, I'm not lying to you, this really happened. In the middle of the night, I am woken up. My roommate, again, we're lofted, so he's only this far from my head in his bed. He begins to scream bloody murder. Scott Ratchy, my wife knows him. He's still good friends with me. He's screaming bloody murder in the middle of the night, just, rah! And I'm woken up out of a deep sleep going, what's going on? And then I'm against the wall, like, don't hit me too. Somebody's stabbing him. Something's happening, don't hit me. And I don't know what's going on. It's pitch black. And as soon as just as much as it started, it stopped. And everything's quiet. And I'm wide awake now. What? Scott's quiet. And the other guy never even woke up. What's that all about? I'm going, what just happened? And instinctively, I rolled over because you have to roll. And I looked at my desk clock. And it was one of these old clocks. And it switched from 2:32 to 2:33. Click. As I looked at it, I went, oh, my gosh. Three thoughts went through my mind. One, that is really creepy. I still get goosebumps because that really happened to me. That was really creepy. That was thought number one. Thought number two, could there be a God? Thought number three, did God really just torture my roommate to get me, get my attention? Does God do that? Those angels down there poking him or something, I don't know. Listen, God has a purpose for you and for me, and it's okay to ask him, are you real? Do you have plans for me? It's okay to ask him that. Understand this, Bertrand Russell said, he's a Nobel Prize winner. He said, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. If you take God out of the equation, purpose and meaning have no basis whatsoever in our lives. We have no purpose. We have no meaning. It's just chance. It's random. There can be no meaning. But if you put God back in, as we're going to do over the next 40 days, then there is purpose. Because purpose comes from your Creator. Colossians 1:16 says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Where does everything find its purpose? In God. And isn't it interesting, again, how it all starts? It's got to start with God. That's why it's so important for you and I to believe the entire Bible from the beginning to the end. In the beginning, God created. That's where it's got to start. And that has undermined Christianity, that has undermined Western civilization, that has undermined so much of what brings true meaning and purpose to life is the fact that we don't believe God created. And every verse that we've shared today talks about God starting it or God creating it. That's where purpose starts. Man, and I would just love to teach on that for the next 6 weeks. Maybe we'll do that shortly after. That whole series on creation, again, I think we need it. We need to be reminded that God did create this planet. He created you and me. If you don't understand that you were created by someone who is pretty smart, if we don't believe that, then you're not going to know your purpose any more than a tool or a pot or anything else that is created by someone that has intelligence. You won't know your purpose. The pot knows its purpose because the Creator started with the design in mind. And just let me illustrate that, because if you don't know your purpose, if you don't know something's purpose, that thing will either be misused, abused, or not used correctly. It's the same with tools. So I got tools here. Some of them, you guys, yeah, right on. Tools. What are these? Most of you know what these are. Pliers. But if you don't know what these are, even if you do know, they can be misused or not used. Have you ever tried to pry a piece of wood with pliers that are cast iron? Have you ever tried that with cheap ones? What happens? It'll snap in half, okay? You can abuse it even if you know the purpose. Anybody know what this is? This is kind of a fun tool. Pop rivet gun, that's right. This is an awesome tool. Everyone should have one. It's like $13 at Home Depot. Go get one, okay? If you can't screw something, if you can't get to something from behind, this is a great pop rivet gun. It's not a hammer. Okay, that would not be good to use this as a hammer. It's not a pry bar. You don't want to do that either. And the person that invented this knew what it was for, and I read up on it, and I figured out what it's for, so I use it, and it's a great tool. But if I don't know what it's for, I could abuse it or misuse it. Now, I need to explain to my children again what this is. Anybody know what this is?
Chisel. Wood chisel.
No, it's not. It's a screwdriver, isn't it? No, come up and feel it, and that's what it's been used for, as a screwdriver, not a chisel. And it chips it. When it's misused, it breaks. And it's not an effective screwdriver anyway because it's got a bevel on it. This is not a screwdriver. Just kids, this is not, you watching this, is not a screwdriver. What about this? Anybody know what this little, it's electronic, it's got a battery in it? Stud finder, is it? Beep. Yes, working. Yes, stud finder. Okay, my wife would do that, okay? It's not me. Stud finder, you put it on the wall. Here's the deal. This is something you might even know what it is, but even some dudes are confused on how it works. It's not easy to use. You put it against the wall, against the plywood back, against the drywall, you drag it, and when those lights start blinking, you mark it right there, and you keep going, and it starts flashing again, you mark it again, and your stud is right there. Trying to find a place to hang your heavy old mirror, stud finder is the way to go. This isn't a radio. This isn't a hammer. This isn't anything else. This isn't something you put, you know, blocks for your car. This is a delicate piece of equipment that you might not even know how to use, but once you figure it out, it's very useful. The purpose of all these tools, it's critical that we know the purpose of why we're here on this planet. And it starts with what? A creator. Somebody made all these tools with a purpose. So to not know the purpose of your life, you're going to either abuse it, misuse it, or not be used in the way you should be. That's why it's important. So we find our purpose by getting to know God. That's how we find our purpose. Ephesians 1:11 says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. In Christ, it says. That's how we find out. Part of the overall purpose, God's purpose, is working out in everything and everyone. As we get to know God, as we explore and understand God, we understand why he created us. He is the great potter, and he made us. He created us for a purpose, so we got to get to know the potter. We are the clay. As we get to know him, we will understand his purposes for us, but it takes time. It'll take an investment. Just like any relationship, it takes time and an investment, but it's well worth it. Let's just finish with this challenge. I challenge you on these three different areas. Number one, as you leave today, I challenge you to hear all seven messages. Don't miss any of these messages. Commit to coming to all seven. Don't miss any of them. All right? I'm going to challenge you there. Number two, I'm going to challenge you to join a small group today. Join a small group today. If you don't sign up out there where the tables are today, then go online to our website /40 days. And there's a great online place where you can sign up. You'll get all the information you need. They are starting this week. And you can join them next week, but it wouldn't be better to start them this week. We have throughout the week, we have small groups meeting throughout the valley, and there's still plenty of room for people. So we encourage you to sign up today. Don't fail to sign up. I'm going to challenge you in that area. And finally, challenge you to read The Purpose-Driven Life if you haven't read it, or if you want to reread it. They're daily. It's like a daily devotionals, like 3 pages for each day. So you're really only about, if you want to start, you can catch up by reading 20 pages, and you'll be caught up. Everything that you would have read last week pertained to what I shared today. So we have copies at the storefront. If you can't afford a copy, then just take one, okay? We bought them as cheap as we possibly could. I can't remember what they're going for, but we got some donated to us as well. So I would encourage you to read that, all right? If you want to read it, then get one, okay? And follow along because it'll all tie together. It'll make the most impact for your life. But let me just share with you, no matter where you're at, whether you're a new believer, whether you were drug here today, whether you are you've been around for a long time, God has something for you through this series. He wants to strengthen your faith. He wants to start and begin a relationship with some of you. And here's a promise I have for you. Last verse for today. Acts 10:35 says, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to, as he says, the door is open. Isn't that a great promise? For you and for me today, that is God's promise to you and to me. One final quote. I like George Herbert. He says, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Let's start today to pursue God and find out what his purposes are for our life and see if it doesn't make a difference. Amen? Bow your heads with me. We're going to pray as we finish here. And Lord, this morning, We know that you have a purpose for bringing each one of us here, whether there are seekers who are here for the first time or brand new believers who are excited that they're starting off their faith with this series or some who have just stumbled in. God, you have a plan for each one of them. Strong believers, each one of you will have a chance to grow deeper in your faith than you've ever grown. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us know the purposes you have for us. And I'll tell you what, let's all just pray with your heads bowed. You'll pray and you can just say amen or I agree with this. Let's just talk to God right now. You don't have to use fancy words. You can say something like this. Dear God, I realize that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't even be alive. You're my creator. You made me for a purpose. And I admit that I've focused on my plans for my life and not yours for so many years. But I want to know your purposes for me. Right now, I want to commit to the next 40 days of my life to learning about your purposes for me. Thank you that you made me so you could love me. Thank you that you cared for me even when I didn't know you. And thank you that I was made to last forever. Lord, I want a life filled with meaning. I want to start by getting to know you better. So it's the best way that I know, the best way I understand. I ask you, Jesus Christ, to come into my life and help me to understand your purposes for me. I want to take that first step today. For it's in your name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. All right, so next week, plan for God's purposes. Don't miss it. And don't forget, hang around and eat food. We don't want a bunch of leftover food here. When we party, I want you to eat it, okay? So there's going to be food and refreshments. Hang around, get to know one another. God planned us. God wants us to have fun, okay? This is part of God's happiness for you right now, okay? So why don't you stand up? We're going to worship, and I want to hear your worship too. Three songs we're going to worship right now, right?